It's a Greg Pope, John Burton show presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Vanderbilt, NC State last night, just the one run, and Jack Leiter, man, just amazing. And both sides, the pitching duel last night. We're joined now by the voice of the Vanderbilt baseball Commodores, Kevin Ingram. Hello, Kevin.
Ingy.
What's happening, guys? How you doing this morning?
Oh, we're, you know what? I was just saying, Greg and I were talking. I mean, a lot of people complain about baseball. There's not enough action. That game was just, you know, intense and fun to watch. I know it wasn't the result most people wanted, Ingy, but, man, I was living and dying by every pitch. What a well-played game last night.
Yeah, JB, it really was. I mean, you know, it was one of those games, you know, after the game on Saturday, where it lasted almost 5 hours, just this marathon, the game last night, you look up and we've been out there like an hour and a half and then it's already the top of the seventh and you're running out of outs. I mean, it was crazy how fast that thing blew past. But it was great pitching on both sides. It felt bad for Jack Leiter. He pitched so great. I mean, eight innings and really made one mistake, and that was a solo home run and worked out of a bases-loaded jam later on in the game. But Sam Heifel, the pitcher for NC State, and Evan Justice, the reliever, they did a great job. You got to give props to those guys. But a well-pitched game, a little frustrating offensively for Vanderbilt, but he's not out of this thing yet. So, and NC State's just on an amazing roll, and they advanced to the Friday game with a chance to get to the championship series next week.
And I wanted to shout out all my kingdom for a run. You know?
I think we were all shouting that out at one point sitting up there. Like, just anything, guys, you know. And, gosh, got the, you know, a runner at third there in the eighth inning. C.J. Rodriguez started off with a walk. They got the pinch runner, Cooper Davis, to third. And I thought it was an interesting play that ended that inning with Enrique Branfield at the plate, two outs. He asked for time, and the plate umpire didn't give it to him. Just went ahead and made the pitch, and it was strike three, and that was the end of the inning. And that was kind of a tough spot. I did not understand why Bradfield didn't get time right there. Justice had not really started his motion yet, so it wasn't like he was mid-pitch or anything like that. But I thought that was a big point in the game. And you know, you get a man on in the ninth, and you get your most reliable right-handed hitter up there, and Dom hit it hard, but it turns into a double play, and now you're down to your last out. So, yeah, there's some frustrating times offensively last night.
What was Tim Corbin's reaction to the Bradfield? Because, I mean, you essentially take the bat out of the hand and the umpire makes the play, right? And instead of it being decided by the players, what was his reaction after the game?
I really didn't catch all of his post game because we were sort of, you know, in transition getting back over here or packing up our stuff when that was going on. But I would say outwardly he probably wouldn't say a whole lot about it. Maybe, you know, off the record, I doubt if he was very happy because, I mean, Bradfield, we had the ESPN feed with the effects for our broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, they provide that for us, and so you can hear everything at the plate. And, you know, you could hear Bradfield ask for time, and the umpire said no, and then Justice went ahead and made the pitch. I thought that was really puzzling why he didn't get granted time right there. I mean, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense, and it was a big spot in the game because as soon as he didn't get time, I was like, oh, man, he's going to throw this pitch. It's going to be strike three, and that's exactly what happened.
Kevin Ingram is our guest, the voice of the Vandy boys. Ingy, Greg and I were talking in the first segment. Obviously, the bad news is you lose the game, and now you're playing for your life tomorrow night against Stanford. But the good news is because you're able to stretch Leiter out to basically the entire game, you know, it's an elimination game. It's all hands on deck, so – you know, Tim Corbin's going to have his entire bullpen at his disposal. And I was joking with Greg. I'm sure Kumar Rocker's going to knock on his door tomorrow morning and say, hey, Skip, I can give you a couple innings if you need it.
David Price, Sonny Gray, yeah, exactly. Mike Minor.
Yeah. I saw Carson Fulmer here in our hotel a couple days ago. He was here playing in a minor league game against Omaha. He's in the Reds organization. I was like, hey, man, Carson, you got a couple innings with that arm for us? But, yeah, that is a good part. By Leiter going the distance, you know, you've got everybody ready in your bullpen. The three M's, as I call them, you know, McIlvain and Maldonado and Murphy, you know, those guys can give you whatever you need. They stretched them out pretty good on Saturday, especially Nick and Luke. They both threw, I think, around 40 pitches in 2 2/3 innings. But at this point, they can do whatever you need them to tomorrow night. I mean, the formula might be a deal where you start Patrick Riley, you start Christian Little, if you can get three innings out of them or three or four, something like that, and they're fairly effective keeping the game, then you go to the bullpen and ride those guys the rest of the way. So, yeah, you got a lot of options for tomorrow night. The killer about losing last night is if you win that game last night, you're in business.
Right.
Because you go straight to Friday and you throw Rocker back out there on Friday. You got a great chance of wrapping it up, going to the finals with one more win. But now you got to get three. But hey, Vanderbilt's won three in a row a whole bunch of times this season. So I would not count this group out just yet. So we'll see. It'll be tough though, because you know whoever's going to start tomorrow night is probably going to be a freshman going out there on that stage and in that spot trying to slow down Stanford for a few innings.
Well, and it is, there's the known or the unknown. Well, we think what we know about Christian Little. We saw him a couple weeks ago at the SEC tournament, but we had Tim on, the Tuesday after the Super Regional before they traveled out there. I guess, that was last Tuesday. But he said that the Monday night starter, if they had gotten beat by Georgia Tech, was probably going to be Christian Little. So I'm not going to be surprised if they put that 17-year-old out there. Riley has experience, high ERA, but the opponents don't have a very high batting average against him because, really a lot of that has to do with the slow start. So you say, what do you do? But I think he's rolling with Christian Little. I really do. That's what he was brought here to do.
Well, you're right, Greg, about his performance in that SEC tournament game. He pitched great against Ole Miss. He really threw with confidence. And, I want to say he had like a cramp or something in his arm or wrist, and he had to come out of the game in about the sixth or seventh inning. But that was the best by far he had pitched the whole season. And that was against a really good Ole Miss lineup. So I think that was maybe the one point in this season with him where you said, hey, man, this guy has really grown over the course of the season. You keep in mind, he's not going to be 18 years old until next month. And can you imagine, what we were doing in Bowling Green, Kentucky at 17 years old? I mean, I wasn't pitching in the College World Series or anything like that. I might have been pitching in the Wiffle Ball World.
Yeah, we were vandalizing Bowling Green High.
Yeah, you're over there with gasoline painted WC on the...
Yeah, Ward Central Dragons, baby.
Hey, Inge, obviously, speaking of pitching, I mean, we got to give credit to the other side. What did you see? What was Sam Highfield doing that had the Vandy lineup a little bit off last night?
Yeah, he just kept him off balance. I mean, he wasn't overpowering. It wasn't like he was out there throwing 97 or anything. His fastball only reached about 92, 93, but it just felt like he kept him guessing. He mixed up his pitches really well, and one thing that you notice that he did is several times he would drop down sidearm, especially in a spot where maybe he had two strikes, and sort of element of surprise and having that in the back of your mind. Okay, is he going to be more conventional, or is he going to give you the three-quarters look? And he was really effective with that, and it just felt like he got a little too comfortable in, say, innings 2 through 7. I mean, he didn't have hardly any base runners. Keegan had a hit in the first with two outs. He had the leadoff man on in the fourth with Young. You had a guy on in the fifth with a couple outs. But other than that, I mean, he just kind of breezed right on through. And next thing you know, you look up and you're in the seventh inning. And
right.
You're eighth inning. You're down to six outs and you're behind. And you're kind of sitting there going, okay, what happened here? Evan Justice, really hard-throwing left-hander. He looked good, too. But Highfield was terrific. Yeah, you're right. You got to give those guys props. Their pitching was great.
Well, and NC State's playing as well as anybody in the country. I don't care how badly you got beat in that first game down there. You go to Arkansas and win those last two, and now what you've done there at the College World Series. But, who knows? You win, you got to beat them, Friday and Saturday to get to Monday. Yep. So
yeah, NC State, they've been one of the hottest teams in the country. They got up to just a bad start. They big things were expected out of them. They were ranked going into the season, but they just got off to such a poor start, and especially in ACC play. But over, say, the last 2 months, they've been as hot as anybody in the country. It's got to be interesting if you're inside that program. You go to Arkansas and you get blasted in that first game, 21-2, and you're thinking, maybe we can stay alive. And Highfield did a great job in the second game of that Super Regional to keep him in it. And then you win that stunner against Kevin Copps, and Torres hits the home run, and all of a sudden you're in Omaha and you've won two games. You're in the Friday game with a chance to go to the finals. I mean, what a run it's been for that group.
Well, Inge, obviously, your focus is on Vanderbilt, but we got a good one this afternoon. One UT is going to leave, two really good programs, two really good teams. One of these teams is going to go home early between Texas and Tennessee. You planning on, sitting back and checking out some of that game?
Yeah, I might go over there and see some of it. I think I've seen a little bit of every game that's been played out here so far, mm-hmm. in some form or another. I went and checked out quite a bit of both games on Sunday. Tennessee really got shut down by the left-hander for Virginia. That guy was terrific. And, man, Virginia's defense on the infield was amazing. And that Mississippi State and Texas game was ridiculous. It was a total strikeout fest.
Yep. 21,
the old,
right?
The old, old cowbell ringers look pretty good, man. I tell you, if I had to say which team I thought may have been most impressive so far, it might be that group. But, it just feels like this tournament is kind of wide open. I would not have said Arizona would be the first team to go home based on the lineup they put out there, but Stanford did a number on them yesterday. But, yeah, I'll probably go over and check out some of it again today. That's kind of a good thing. You know, we're right downtown. Walk over there in about 10 minutes and kind of come and go as you please, even with the pass. So I've been able to check out some great baseball, and it's fun to go to these games and look out there and see guys and say, yep, that guy and that guy and that guy, they're going to all be playing in the big league.
Right.
Probably not too far down the road. You know, you can see some great talent.
And just the crowds, man. Yeah. I mean, just watching on TV, it comes through the TV. It's got to be amazing to be there.
Maybe we can get Mississippi State Vanderbilt in the final. We can have the Whistler against the Cowbells.
Oh God, you know what I'm going to do if that happens? I'm going to listen to my friend Kevin Ingram right here on WNSR Sports Radio. I'm turning the sound down for that.
I'd be down for that. Let's bring it on. You know, I thought the Vanderbilt Mississippi State series that we played back in April at Hawkins Field, that to me was one of the best series of the whole season. In fact, that game on Sunday, I thought, if you ask me the best regular season game of 2021, it was definitely that game. And Vanderbilt won to take 2 out of 3 in the series. Mississippi State won the middle game. But you looked at both those teams and said, man, we might see both these in Omaha, and here they are.
You know, by the way, don't go across the river, okay? Stay in Nebraska,
right.
Okay?
Hang on a second. I've already been across the river this morning.
Get an early start, huh?
Does the casino have a breakfast buffet? What?
Some guy dressed up like Elvis making you an omelet?
Right. Yeah. Give me 20 on red and an omelet if you got one. I've been going on a morning walk, and there's a really nice pedestrian bridge that's kind of right behind where the ballpark and that arena are, and it goes across the river, and you know, there's a little line there that says Nebraska and Iowa in the middle of the bridge. I stopped there, you know, took a picture of my feet on both sides. But
nice.
About every morning I've been walking over there. It's about 3 miles round trip from the hotel to there and back. So one day I walked almost down to the casino. It's not very far. If you really wanted to walk to it, you could, but it's a short Uber ride for a lot of people here have been around downtown Omaha coming out here for the World Series. I'm sure there have been quite a few fans from all the different teams that have headed over there and checked out Harrah's a little bit while they're here.
Well, and also we have a recommendation for, Omaha Prime Steakhouse from Coach Corbin. He and Maggie made that trip last year. They went there. He told us the name of the owner and their friends, and they were there the other night having dinner. So Omaha Prime, we're going to clip all of these plugs,
right,
and send them to them.
I was going to say, Inge, you won't be shocked to hear that, you know, Greg immediately called up the website and he started drooling like Pavlov's dog when he saw all the steaks on the menu.
Yeah, I don't know if I probably quite have the dough to go to Omaha Prime. It looked like a really nice place. I walked out.
Oh, that Vandy per diem.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I tell you what I did do. I got tired of eating $15 meals really fast, so I walked down here to Dollar General and got some bread and some peanut butter and jelly.
Attaboy. It's a bowling. You can take the boy out of Bowling Green,
say,
but you can't take Bowling Green out of a boy.
I was just going to say, a country boy can survive.
That's right. Give me all that and some Pop-Tarts. Yeah,
that's right.
we can go to Judy's on the bypass? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, Judy's Castle.
Judy's Castle on the bypass. Our paths. Old Murray's, yeah. There was, I was there a little bit earlier than you, but yeah, Murray's would stay open 24 hours. Not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know that either one of those places are still there on the bypass and Bowling Green. But yeah, Murray's was that was the hot spot for college kids back in the day.
Yeah, we had a place downtown right behind the newspaper called the Burger Basket or something that was there, and it was a 24-hour greasy spoon, too. And
yeah, there are a few of those up there.
Hey, Kevin, I'll be honest with you. I listened to the entire game last night. Really enjoyed it. And you getting to work with your new partner as well, Andrew Allegretta.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting to know Andrew. And, so, you know, usually you work with somebody new. It's, you know, a midweek game in March or something, mm-hmm. not the College World Series. But it's been cool. I think Andrew's had a great time, too. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun out here.
You can tell he studied his homework. Yep.
Oh, man, yes, he is thoroughly prepared. Man, he comes up with all kinds of stuff and stats and info. And, I've enjoyed that a lot, and hopefully got a whole bunch more games to do out here. It's not over yet. Hopefully,
five more will be fine.
Yep, we'll take
five more. Will totally work. That'll get it done.
Yep. All right. Hey, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Ingy.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Thank you.
All right. One of the best, Kevin Ingram.